Good evening, Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. How you doing? Huh? You having fun? Isn't this political season, now that normal people can relax, isn't it fun to watch these crazed Republicans? Wow, the tempo and tone of the hate mail in this program is starting to increase, which means I must be gutting, verbally speaking, a few half-witted right-wingers out there, but... It's pretty astonishing to me. John McCain, you talk about somebody that truly looks like a wind-up doll. This guy is going to give himself, his head's going to just explode. It's not going to be a stroke. There's going to be blood coming out of his ears, his mouth, his nose, his eyeballs, and the little hole that's going to open up right at the top of his head. I don't know what McCain thinks he can do with, it's one thing to sit in this talk show studio and say bad words and scream and yell and rant and rave. I'm not running for anything. Well, no, I really am not. But John McCain wants to be president, and for him to scream and foam and froth at the mouth and, you know, chop the air with his arms is just, and then with this crazed Sarah Palin, can you believe this woman? This is just, it's gone beyond the realm of threat and entered feet first, on all fours actually, into the realm of absolute comedic parody. If you had to come up with a script, somebody, some TV production company said, I'm going to pay you $100,000, just come up with a script for me. For a 6-minute bit on a comedy show, a president and a vice president, candidates for presidency and vice presidency, make them as bizarre as you can, give them dialogue that is just so far out there that people would be scratching their heads. This is what you'd come up with: John McCain and Sarah Palin. Oh my God! Oh, by the way, I got a couple emails from people about the quote Barbara West made when she interviewed Joe Biden the other night, and I didn't know this. I really didn't. But Jack in Salem, Oregon, who says he's a committed socialist, he wrote, "Mike, it was not Karl Marx who said, quote, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs, end quote." As Barbara West asserted in her recent persecution of Joe Biden, it was French socialist Louis Blanc in an 1840 publication called, quote, The Organization of Work, end quote. Pretending to knowledge one does not have can get one into trouble. Someone ought to tell her, and her superiors as well. And it's from Jack, in his last name in Salem, Oregon. Thanks, Jack. That's a new one on me. I had no idea. Of course, I don't think I've ever studied the origins of the phrase. The complete graph containing Marx's statement is as follows. In a higher phase of communist society, after the enslaving subordination of the individual to the division of labor, and therewith also the antithesis between mental and physical labor has vanished. After labor has become not only a means of life, but life's prime want. After the productive forces have also increased with the all-around development of the individual and all the springs of cooperative wealth flow more abundantly, only then can the narrow horizon of bourgeois right be crossed in its entirety and society inscribe on its banners from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. Despite the secular nature of Marxism, it's been said that the inscription or inspiration for this slogan lies in Christianity, an earlier exposition of the idea, from each to each, is found in the Bible in Acts. Luke describes the organization of the first Christian congregations following the death of Jesus. This is in Acts 2, 44 and 45. Allegedly written by Luke. And all that believed were together, and all had things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Ooh, to each person according to their need. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Oh my God! You mean it's in the Bible? Holy jumping Jehoshaphat! Hey! Hot damn! It's in the Bible! What are you right-wing nutballs gonna do now? You Christian freaks who believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, there it is for you! There it is! Luke! You know, Luke is the one that we read from, Luke's book in the Bible, every Christmas on our Christmas Eve program. I read the story of the birth of Jesus as recorded in Luke. Well, here he is writing in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. But we call it Acts. No, not AX. ACTS. Let me repeat it. This is from Acts 2, chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. Here it is. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Right? They were all together and they shared everything they had. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. In other words, they sold everything and they gave the proceeds to people who needed stuff. You know, from each to each, right? And then in Acts 4, verses 34 and 35, it says, neither was there any among them that lacked. Nobody had any need. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, the money, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Oh, Sarah Palin and John McCain, you Christian haters, you hate Jesus. You really hate Jesus. Hey, everybody, Sarah Palin and what's his name, Lumpy, John McCain, they hate Jesus. And they're apostate. You know, we got the apostle Luke, and we have the apostate Sarah and her sidekick John. They're kicking Jesus in the groin here. They're smashing the Christian faith into a million pieces. Yo, evangelicals. Yo, dominionists. Yo, all you people who like to handle snakes and drink acid. Forget it. Go get these two. Teach them what the Bible's really about. Make them sit down and read the Bible to them. Read Luke. Read this part of Luke. Okay? Okay? My goodness, the things you can find in the Bible. You know, if you're willing to look. I have yet to meet a fundamentalist who really quotes from the New Testament, unless they're talking about, and Adrian went up to the church in Corinth to discuss the price of rocks, and the sun shone down. What they usually discuss is the Old Testament. And God smote the
the Canaanite. And God said, blood, kill them all. And God sent the angel of death over Egypt, smiting the firstborn.
Fingerless pale blue Japanese guitar. The priest said, God wants goodness, God wants light, God wants mayhem, God wants clean fight.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
I just think that somebody ought to do something. We have this is a Christian nation, and we have two people running for the top two executive positions who hate Jesus and who are. By implication, cursing their Lord and Savior's directives to his apostles. I mean, not just people along the road, but this is Luke, Matthew, Mark, John. And they are mocking. Why do we allow John McCain and Sarah Palin to mock Jesus Christ? And by extension, they're bitch-slapping God. I mean, this is horrifying. It wasn't Barack Obama. It wasn't Karl Marx or Louis Blanc who talked about the redistribution of wealth, the taking from those what they could give and the giving to those who need what they need. That comes from Acts, and it comes from Luke. Long time ago, you know. Like maybe 2,000 years? That's before Karl Marx was even born. But then you see Karl Marx apparently, and Louis Blanc apparently, used to read the Bible or something, or they were channeling the dead Apostle Luke. What does apostle mean? It means someone who speaks for Jesus in this instance, right? Why do Sarah Palin and John McCain hate Jesus Christ? Why? This is terrible. This is terrible. How did we come to the point where a major political party has nominated two people who hate Jesus Christ? The avatar of this entire country. I mean, we have on our money in God we trust, and Jesus is the Son of God. What is this? How did this happen? People, we need to get the word out. This is terrifying. They're going to bring down the wrath of God on the United States with this apostasy, with this attack on Jesus. Why are they attacking Jesus? What do they want to do? Nail him to a cross again? How did this happen? Do you see how easy this is? Huh? You see how easy it is to build a case in this particular instance that Sarah Palin and John McCain hate Jesus? Huh? Wow. From our economic correspondent, hey Mike, the stock market went giddy today with the rumor that the Fed is well on its way to cutting the interest rate to zero. People who make a living without actually doing anything seem to think there is no way to lose when you get money for free. Economists are predicting the Fed will have no choice but to keep reducing interest rates as deflation kicks in. Deflation is what defines a Great Depression, since it becomes impossible to grant credit at any level, with prices falling uncontrollably. Economists also predicted a dramatic 9-point drop in the Consumer Confidence Index. Instead, it dropped 23 points to the lowest level ever. Economists have an irrational exuberance to rival that of stockbrokers. Whirlpool, who eliminated most of its competition by swallowing Maytag and Amana, among others, has just announced the closing of 6 of its own plants and is eliminating a minimum of 5,000 jobs. 6 months ago, they were planning a major expansion. Hundreds of thousands of people are losing their jobs each month. Besides the 120,000 jobs that need to be created each month just to keep up with population growth. Since we've lost jobs for 10 months in a row, that's over 1.25 million new workers who don't have jobs on top of the unemployed. And, by the way, add retirees that need to return to work now that their 401ks are gone. All of these people must compete for jobs with people who can no longer afford to retire and people looking for a second or third job. Two African-American women were spotted canvassing for McCain in Des Moines, Iowa. When questioned by reporters, they admitted that they were temp workers brought in from Chicago to work for $10 an hour. Who says Republicans don't create jobs? Obama depends on thousands and thousands of volunteers. Prairie 2. I miss the Maytag repairman. I really do. I miss him. I miss the Maytag repairman. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Well, I'm confused. I can't believe that the Republicans have nominated two people to be president and vice president who hate Jesus.
Spending in the war might help with jobs because we're buying equipment and people are working. I think this economy is down because we built too many houses.
Yeah, let's have more.
America is in the lead.
Let's have more war and less houses. Yeah, goddammit. Come on, kill, kill, kill. This is from a couple days ago from Anderson Cooper 360. His guest was David Gergen. Gergen, who is a political chameleon, he's green one moment, brown the next, speckled the next, green, brown, speckled, brown, green, speckled, speckled, green, brown. Gergen has signed on to advise, quote-quote, Republicans, Democrats, Republicans, in other words, he's a Washington player. And while I may see him as kind of a waffler and kind of a geeky person who can't take a stand on anything, he made a couple of good points. Even a stopped clock is right twice a day. Even this program occasionally has a gem if you dig around in the pony poo deep enough, right? David Gergen. On AC360 the other night, Anderson Cooper said, "It's certainly a question the McCain campaign has kind of been hammering at, portraying Obama as a socialist. You hear that on the Palin campaign as well. Is it working?" David Gergen.
They may be making some modest progress with it, Anderson. We did see some evidence of McCain coming up a point or two here and there. I don't think it's anywhere near close enough to win an election. And more importantly, I don't think the Democrats have really answered it appropriately. You know, Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, was very much an advocate of what's called progressive taxation. And that is the rich pay more than the poor in terms of taxes. Now, one of the most effective popular programs we've had in the last 30 years is called the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's a program whereby if you're a working person, a working couple, and you're below the poverty line, the government will actually give you money. That's a redistributed program. It's a program which takes money from the upper classes and gives it to the working poor. Now, who started that program, the Earned Income Tax Credit? Ronald Reagan! It was an achievement of the Reagan administration that Bill Clinton then built on. So, I think these arguments are, you know, some of them get so carried away that they don't recognize the realities of what we've been going through in public policy. And the big arguments about why the wealth over the last 30 years has been redistributed. It's been redistributed up. But you see, the trolls who show up at a McCain Palin rally don't have a goddamn clue. They don't know what Jesus said. They don't know what Luke said. They don't know what Reagan signed into law. They don't know what Clinton did. Oh, and there's more. Teddy Roosevelt. Now, doesn't McCain walk around talking about, well, I'm a Teddy Roosevelt Republican. Yeah, I'm Teddy Roosevelt. Okay, here's what Roosevelt said. Quote, I believe in a graduated income tax on big fortunes and in another tax which is far more easily collected and far more effective, a graduated inheritance tax increasing rapidly with the size of the estate. That sounds like Honest John the Commie again, doesn't it? Theodore Roosevelt. Here's another one. Now, you know this one. Oh, wait a minute. Well, you know that. That's the one about every dollar spent on the government. Okay, well, let's do it anyway. Every dollar spent by the government must be paid for either by taxes or by more borrowing with greater debt. The only way to make more tax cuts is to have bigger and bigger deficits and to borrow more and more money. Either we or our children will have to bear the burden of this debt. This is one kind of chicken that always comes home to roost. An unwise tax cutter, my fellow citizens, is no friend of the taxpayer. Wow, that sounds like Honest John the Commie again. Let me see. Ooh, Dwight Eisenhower. Let's try another one. Oh, God. In 1986, Reagan signed legislation greatly increasing the Earned Income Tax Credit, a credit for low-income workers that reduces the impact of payroll taxes in order to boost take-home pay above poverty levels. When the credit is more than the amount of federal income taxes owed by an individual, that person receives a tax, quote, refund, end quote. Ronald Reagan said, it's the best anti-poverty, the best pro-family, the best job creation measure to come out of Congress. Ronald Reagan. So let's review. We've had Jesus, Luke, Theodore Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, and McCain and Palin hate them all. Are lumping them all together as, I don't know, what did he say today? This psychopathic, lumpy son of a bitch. What did he, the redistributor-in-chief. Redistributor-in-chief? Well, history's a bitch, isn't it? I mean, especially now that you've got all this wonderful tool, McCain, called the web or the internet. Or the computer. It's amazing what you can find. You can get the whole Bible just by typing in Bible. Boom! And if you want certain quotes, just type in, quote, Jesus. Boom! It's all right there. So when you and the hoe from Wasilla get out there in front of the trolls and start screaming your garbage, Granted, the trolls probably won't check it, but the rest of the goddamn world will! Not only are you a liar, McCain, and your hoe from Wasilla, you're also ignorant! Now, I ask you, what's worse than an ignorant liar? A Christian fundamentalist? Close. Of course, that's being redundant. Poor McCain. Poor McCain. Lawsuits were filed today in U.S. Federal District Court charging New Mexico Republicans with criminal violations of the U.S. Voting Rights Act. The lawsuits stem from a series of attacks on new minority voters in Albuquerque, many of whom were assisted in registering to vote by Acorn, that began with a press conference on October 16th, led by State Representative Justine Fox Young, in which Fox Young claimed to have solid proof that individuals had illegally voted in the June 2008 Democratic primary election. At the press conference, the Republican Party broke state law by distributing the voters' personal information in its press packets. The second attack came after Acorn visited 9 of the 10 smeared voters and proved them to be legitimate. On October 22nd, a private investigator visited at least 3 of the voters, leaving them shaken, one in tears. The Associated Press reported the daughter of one voter indicated that the intimidating tactics had worked on her mother. Guadalupe Bojorquez said, quote, she said that if she knew she was going to have to go through all this, she wouldn't have voted, end quote. According to the Voting Rights Act, it is a criminal offense to willfully intimidate or interfere with a person attempting to vote, or to conspire to intimidate someone trying to vote. And Acorn's conversations with all of the voters visited by the investigator all expressed fear at his aggressive, angry, and intrusive behavior. Quote, these are all minority voters. Many of them are young, and one is a new citizen, said Acorn leader Dana Gallegos. Quote, Acorn has worked hard to get these types of new voters involved in the democratic process. We will not tolerate attempts by the Republican Party to suppress the Latino vote in New Mexico, end quote. The investigator told one voter that his name was Al Romero and that he works for Pat Rogers, a Republican Party attorney who was also involved in the October 16 smears. P.S. Acorn has helped 80,000 New Mexicans register to vote this year. And a voting rights group has also called for a federal probe of the matter. Oh, yeah, federal probe? You want a federal probe? Oh, Bush has asked for a federal probe up in Ohio? Yeah. He's asking Mukasey. You remember Michael Mukasey, the one that the Democrats confirmed in the U.S. Senate because, well, Chuck Schumer introduced him, and Chuck Schumer said, well, I trust Michael Mukasey. He'll be a good attorney general. Do you remember that? Do you remember that goddamn Schumer bringing this freak before the Senate? And all these cowardly, disgusting... I'll tell you what, when Obama and Biden are elected, I will spend the next 2 years and the next 4, if I'm still alive, going after every single filthy, cowardly, pink tutu Democrat and try to get their asses defeated. I will do everything I can with this radio program to put in liberal Democrats to take the place of these cowards who repeatedly confirm neo-Nazi criminals from the right. I swear that's what I'll do. Now, Bush in Ohio when we come back. Truth Seekers, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. So Bush and Michael Mukasey in Ohio, have you heard about this? Bush, after the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear this garbage appeal that the Republican Party had made, I'm sorry, let me rephrase it. After the Supreme Court refused to back the garbage that the Republican Party was trying to force down the throats of Ohio voters, the whiners in the Republican Party, John Boehner, who is the House Minority Leader, sent a letter to Bush asking for his intervention because the Supreme Court refused to get involved in this nonsense. Federal intervention, if it's ordered by Mukasey, could wreak havoc at polling places all across Ohio, again, with Republican operatives now being able to use data on mismatches to challenge thousands of voters and causing long lines in Democratic strongholds. That's where people are going to be injured. I'll tell you, you know, this happened in 2000, 2002, 2004, 2006. In four elections, these Republican pissants, all of them beer-bellied and all of them white, have been showing up always in minority precincts and harassing voters. You know what's going to happen this time? There's going to be some bodily harm done. So to you white thugs who are planning on thinking that your white skin is going to protect you, hi, I'm here to see whether or not you are a registered voter. Show me your ID. You know, some brother's going to step up and say, you want to see some of my ID? And that's the last thing this punk is going to hear, the white punk. That's the last thing he's going to hear. Well, he may hear a siren off in the distance, but that's it. Bush forwarded to Mukasey this request that the Justice Department intervene in Ohio to force 200,000 new voters to either verify the information on the registration forms or cast provisional ballots, which are often just thrown out after the voter leaves the polling place. Did you know that? Ask Greg Palast. Ask Bobby Kennedy Jr. Ask Brad Friedman. Now, this is like 2 years ago when Bush feared Democratic victories in congressional races and the president spoke with Gonzalez. According to a Justice Department Inspector General's report released earlier this month, Bush got Gonzalez to put the word out through the Justice Department to U.S. attorneys around the country to bring last-minute indictments against pro-Democratic Party voter registration drives. And this filthy pig, Gonzalez, did it. Here we go again. Now, when some federal prosecutors, all appointed by the Bush crime family, balked because they found lack of evidence, they were purged. The nine U.S. attorneys who were fired because they weren't considered to be loyal Bushies, you know what this is all about. And now, 2 years later, Bush is at it again. A new round of so-called voter fraud suspicions pushed by John McCain. So when the Supreme Court said, get out of here, John Boehner sent a letter to Bush asking for Bush's intervention. In the letter, Boehner said, quote, unless action is taken by the Justice Department immediately, thousands, if not tens or hundreds of thousands of names whose information has not been verified through the Help America Vote Act procedures mandated by Congress will remain on the voting rolls through or during the November 4th election. There is a significant risk, if not a certainty, that unlawful votes will be cast and counted. Given the election day is less than 2 weeks away, immediate action by the Department of Justice is not only warranted, but also critical. Independent studies have shown that phony registrations rarely result in illegally cast ballots because there are so many other safeguards already built into the system. For instance, from October 2002 to September 2005, 3 years, a total of 70 people were convicted of federal election-related crimes. According to figures compiled by the New York Times last year, only 18 of those were for ineligible voting, and none of them were the type of voter fraud that Boehner and McCasey and Bush and McCain are wetting their pants about. And in recent years, federal prosecutors reached the same conclusions, despite pressure from the Bush crime family to lodge these election fraud charges against voter registration groups. Why? Because voter registration groups always bring in more Democrats than they do Republicans. Republicans are scum. They don't care about voting because they know the religious right nutbags will go out there. Kathy and I have been trying for 3 goddamn days to cast an early ballot. And we can't because the lines are too long here in Metro Atlanta, for God's sake. And I will guarantee you, black or white, those voters standing there for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours are not standing there to vote for Sarah Palin and John McCain. So now, after the Ohio Republican Party filed that lawsuit against Ohio Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner, claiming that voter registration information for hundreds of thousands of new voters didn't match official government data, they got turned down. They got turned down again. The Supreme Court said, get out of town. So now they've gone to Daddy. Daddy, help us. Please, George, help us. Those Democrats are going to steal the election. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. Very quickly here, this is just out from Associated Press. As you probably know, there is a half-hour Barack Obama campaign ad for which he bought network time. It'll blanket the major broadcast networks Wednesday night, except for ABC. ABC has backed out. According to the Associated Press, attempting to protect its struggling Wednesday lineup, ABC tried to reach an agreement with the Obama campaign to air the commercial on a different night, according to people familiar with the discussion. ABC had a change of heart, but by the time it decided to make the 8 p.m. Wednesday slot available for the Democratic presidential candidate's spot, his campaign had already finalized the ad buy, the people said. ABC will air an episode of the hour-long Pushing Daisies at that time, as scheduled. The Obama campaign bought time on CBS, NBC, and Fox for $1 million per network. In Fox's case, the half-hour-long political ad will precede the resumption of rain-soaked Game 5 of the World Series in Philadelphia. Blah, blah, blah. So ABC, really? ABC has decided to, we want to show an episode of Pushing Daisies. You son of a bitches. Unbelievable. Oh, well. What do you expect? From Prairie 2, it doesn't look like McCasey will do anything in Ohio. When Boehner asked him for help, he was ignored. So he went to Bush. Mukasey has to stay out of the way of the special prosecutor that will still be operating after he is out in the snow in January. Let's hope that's the case. Let's hope that Mukasey will stay out of it. Now, we have some sound for you from McCain and Palin from their rallies. I want you to listen to this. Okay, well, if you don't want to, screw it. You know, go do something else. I certainly understand. But we just want to give you a flavor of what these out-of-touch hate mongers are saying as the nails are being driven into their coffins, their political coffins. Starting with the hoe from Wasilla, continuing to spread her tired old lies about McCain or Obama's designs for spreading the wealth, which is garbage. McCain himself was in favor of higher taxes for big corporations and big corporate CEOs, but he doesn't want to admit it now. Despite being caught on video tape over and over making those statements. But I want you to hear the hoe from Wasilla. They're going to keep on this Joe the Plumber thing until they kill him. You know?
And I've really got to hand it to Joe the Plumber. They're in Toledo, Ohio. Somehow, Joe got our opponent to finally state his intentions, our opponent, in plain language. And Senator Obama now saying that he wants to spread the wealth. Now, he had been hiding behind his real agenda of redistributing your hard-earned money.
Oh, my God.
And what that means is government taking more of your money and money from our small businesses and then doling it out however the politician sees fit. And Barack Obama calls that spreading the wealth. And Joe Biden calls higher taxes, he calls that patriotic. But to Joe the Plumber, Joe said it sounded to him like socialism.
Oh, my God. It's just astonishing. The people cheering this hoe from Wasilla, I don't quite get it. Those are all people to whom the wealth would be spread. You dumb asses, you. You poor, brain-dead, willfully ignorant, half-witted dumbasses. The wealth that would be spread to you. Oh, never mind. You don't deserve anything. Next, Palin touted the wondrous, miraculous McCain-Palin smart energy plan. Oh, yeah! High tech! The future! Remember now, McCain says Simple Sarah is the smartest person on energy in America. So what's the genius plan? Here it is!
We'll set this nation firmly on a course of energy independence. And we'll drill here, we'll drill now. Energy resources brought to you by American ingenuity and produced by American workers.
You know, her voice just, I don't know, it's like, I can't describe the effect that it has on me. I just know it's stomach churning. Now that the spewing shrew is gotten off stage, insane McCain climbs up to the mic. Now, this is after word broke that one of his top advisors called her, what was the word they used? Whack job. So both McCain and Palin are aware that McCain, one of McCain's top advisors, has referred to her as a whack job because she is a whack job. She's a goddamn psychopath. But he gets up there and he thanks his pit bull for her good service. And then he throws her a jerky treat and a pair of $600 shoes from Neiman's and says, get off the stage.
Isn't this just going to be a marvelous vice president of the United States of America?
Yeah! Goddamn right!
Whack
job, whack job.
I couldn't be more pleased because of your enthusiasm for her, but I guarantee you there's only one place in America they're not going to be enthusiastic, and that's the Old Boy Network in Washington, D.C. When I bring her there, and we're going to clean it up.
Yeah.
We're going to fix it.
Yeah.
And she's going to show them what reform is all about.
Yeah.
The same way she did in the state of Alaska, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yee-hee. Yee. And by the way, when two mavericks join up, we don't agree on everything, but that's a lot of fun. And I'm
yeah, she really is a whack job. You. Yeah, I'm telling you too, John. She's a whack job. You know she's a whack job. Go ahead. Try to put lipstick on that pit bull. Go ahead, boy. You keep doing it there, John.
Now, we heard the lemming shout, drill, baby, drill. Now listen to this chant that G.I. Johnny's inspiring.
If I'm elected president, I won't spend nearly $1 trillion more of your money. Senator Obama will.
No! We don't want health care!
And he can't do that without raising your taxes or digging us further into debt. I'm going to make government live on a budget just like you do.
Yeah!
We'll freeze government spending, and of course we can freeze government spending. And we'll freeze it on all but the most important programs like defense, veterans care, Social Security, and health care until we scrub every single government program, get rid of the ones that aren't working for the American people, and I'll veto every single pork barrel bill that comes across. My guess, you will you will know their names, and we'll make them famous.
No!
No more pork. That's right.
No more pork. No more pork. No more pork. Eat more chicken. Eat more. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, we don't want any pork back in our home district. We don't want any of that money to come back here. We don't want any jobs. We don't want any road improvement. Hell, goddamn no. We want holes in the roads. We want railroad bridges to collapse. We want interstate highways that just dissolve into mud and dirt. We don't want anything. No jobs, no subsidies for factories to reopen after they were driven out by the last four administrations. Nah, we don't want no more pork, goddammit, no more pork. We want to drill right here in downtown Main Street, right here in, where are we today? Hershey, PA. If we dig deep enough, we'll find chocolate down there. I know we will. No more pork, no more jobs, no more money, no more... No more, no more health care. No more money for my sick mom who's on Medicaid. Screw her. No more preschool stuff for my dumbass little child because I can't feed her right. And then she's got all kinds of brain disorders now because I can't afford vitamins. I don't want any of that crap. I don't want none of it. No more pork. I want to stay here in Hershey, PA and die and rot and have fantasies about doing Palin. That's all. God damn it. No more pork. No more pork. No more pork. If it was worth a dime. You'd bulldoze your own backyard, then you'd come for mine. You're a nation of sheep. Led by a handful of pigs.
He is so great. He is so independent. Reminds me a lot of John McCain. Also, looking for people who have the heart of America in mind, have a servant's heart, and have strong work ethic and good judgment, good values.
Now,
Sarah, this is in Hershey, PA today, again. Palin hollered for more drilling, of course. Drill, baby, drill. We all know what she means by that. Come on, come on. Just like she said, John McCain tapped her to be, what the hell was that? I think the dishes all fell. John McCain tapped her to be vice president. And drill, baby, drill. Come on, baby, come up here and drill. Ooh. McCain is more of a coal man in keeping with his generation. Now sing along with me. I'm a coal man. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, coal man.
And my friends, we will invest in clean coal technology, and clean coal will lead us.
Lead us, clean
we
coal!
We will create millions of jobs. The United States of America, including the state of Pennsylvania,
sits on
the world's largest coal reserve.
Yeah.
We'll use coal and clean coal technology to get us out of this ditch. Got coal, that's right.
Yeah.
And you've got independence and you've got judgment,
yeah,
and that's why we're going to win this election on November.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. We've got coal. Your mama.
Oops. I'm a coal man. Was that Sam and Dave? No, who was it?
Blues Brothers, come on.
Yeah, but I mean the original. You know, white people always steal black people's music, especially rock and blues. It was Sam and Dave, I think. Okay, last bit of lies before his closing screaming. And we're going to wait till after the break at the bottom of the hour to play this last piece. You're not going to believe this. But back to that worn-out refrain that Obama's a socialist. And I still can't understand why McCain and Palin hate Jesus.
He wants to, quote, spread the wealth around.
No!
And now more and more coming to light that he's wanted to spread the wealth around for a long time, my friends.
No!
In a radio interview, he revealed this week, he said the same thing, that one of the, quote, tragedies of the civil rights movement is that it didn't bring about redistributive change.
Oh, what's that?
He's
mean?
More interested in controlling wealth than creating it.
Oh!
In redistributing money instead of spreading opportunity.
No!
I'm going to create wealth for all Americans by creating opportunity for all Americans. Senator Obama is running to be redistributionist in chief.
What?
I'm running to be commander in chief.
Woo! Woo!
Woo! Oh, excuse me. He's running to be redistributionist in chief. You know, all those white people standing out there when McCain says,
well, you know, we found a radio interview from a long time ago where he said, quote, one of the tragedies of the civil rights movement is that it didn't bring about redistributive change. And white people all stand there going, yeah,
what's that mean, Luke? I don't know. What does it mean to you? I have no idea. It has something to do with the Negroes, doesn't it? Yeah, what is that? Redistributive change? Damn, that's a big word. Oh, you dumbass, that's three words. Oh,
Senator Obama is running to be redistributionist in chief. And Lumpy is running to be commander in chief. So once again, you hear these strange android like people who every time they talk about spreading the wealth around, they start booing. You dumb halfwits. You live in Hershey, PA. Didn't they just close their goddamn candy bar factory? Isn't it owned by China now or some such nonsense? When does China start putting melamine in your candy bars? You freaks! You idiots! How can you do that? How can you stand there and cheer for a man who wants to kill you, starve you to death, throw your mama on the street, and put your babies at the curb? How can you do that?
Oh!
I said that cat is mine. Yes, it's mine. Baby, I said the guy.
Chuck Walsh, my mama No, I won't lie. That's higher than a guy. Boy, if he had more looks at the black eye. Oh, my, my.
A vice president has a really great job. They're in charge of the United States Senate. So if they want to, they can really get in there with the senators and make a lot of good policy changes that will make life better for Brandon and his family and his classroom.
Oh, my God. All right. As promised, sit down for this one. There's so much screeching in his final minutes. You get the feeling Halloween has come early. It's at this point, I think both Kathy and I started to feel sorry for this poor schmuck getting so worked up and semi-hysterical for nothing. He's not saying anything inspiring. He's not saying anything to get worked up, except for the fact that he suffers from severe PTSD. No good reason, really, given the antics of his campaign and his psychopathic running mate. But for just a moment, I feared for his health. I thought it was fear, and then I realized, no, it's anticipation, not fear. And I kept sitting there hoping, go, push it. Come on, push it. A little bit more. A little bit more. Come on. That artery is just ready to go pop. But it didn't happen. And his vocal cords... As his pitch goes higher and higher. Hillary Clinton used to do that. A lot of people do that. The politicians are talking, and the people start applauding, and they start talking to the beer, and then they go like this, and then they go like this, and then they go like that! You know, you just want to say, shut up! Let your people cheer! They'll be there! Shut up! And he got so red in the face. And that little weird homunculus that's on his cheek looked like a ripe, bursting clutch of raspberries. I thought it was going to pop off his face and roll across the floor. It was horrible. Okay, you ready? All right. In case you're worried, America's a great country.
Now, my friends, I know you're worried. America is a great country. We're in a moment of national crisis that will determine our future.
Drill,
baby. I want to ask you, will we continue to lead the world's economies, or will we be overtaken?
No more
will
part.
The world become safer or more dangerous? Will our military remain the strongest
no
in the
more,
world? Will
more.
Our children and grandchildren's future be brighter than ours? My answer to you is yes. Yes, we will lead. Yes, we will prosper. Yes, we will be safer. Yes, we will pass on to our children a stronger, better country. We must be prepared to act swiftly, boldly, with courage and wisdom. I'm an American, and I choose to fight.
Yeah.
Don't give up hope. Be strong. Have courage and fight. Fight for a new direction for our country. Fight for what's right for America. Fight to clean up the mess of corruption, infighting, and selfishness in America.
Yeah.
Fight to get our economy out of the ditch and back in the lead.
Yeah.
Fight for the ideals and character of our free people. Fight for our children's future. Fight for justice and opportunity for all. Stand up to defend our country from its enemies. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up and fight. America is worth fighting for. Nothing is inevitable. Here we never give up. We never quit. We make history. We don't hide from history. Now let's go win this election and get this country moving again.
My God!
Wee-wee, fight for what's right! Fight to clean up the corruption! Fight to get our economy out of the ditch!
I have to say, it's like he turned into one of the munchkins from The Wizard of Oz. The longer he was talking, the more I was waiting for them to start playing, "We represent the Lollipop Guild! The Lollipop Guild!" It was really scary!
Fight for our children's future! Fight for justice.
Talk about the flying monkey, right?
Fight! Fight! God damn it! Fight! Stand up! Stand up and fight! Sit down! Stand up! Fight! 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 Ugh. I'm an American! I fight. We represent the Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild.
And when we're all in the Lollipop Guild, we want to welcome you to McCain Band.
God, did you all see that?
And before that, Palin was up there blinking and popping her eyes like, I don't know, I thought maybe McCain had been abducted again. She was trying to do some sort of Morse code thing.
Beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep.
Drill, baby, drill. I'm a coal man. Do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm a coal man.
Ah.
I tell you, man, this is really... Oh, Christ, now I'm talking like... It's just unreal.
I mean, these rallies for McCain. Attend, you know, the people who would really benefit from a McCain presidency, the upper one half of 1%, they must sit back on their asses wherever they sit at this time of the year, and they watch this stuff on TV, and they go, that's really cool, man. I really like that. Look at the dumb bastards. We got them again. Wow. How can people in this country be so stupid? But we love it. Cheer, you dumb bastards. Sarah Palin. Yeah. John McCain. And the real working people in this country who turn out for these rallies, they, you know, it's almost heartbreaking. You just want to either do one of two things. Either grab them and just beat them with an axe handle, or grab them and scream at them, don't you know what you're cheering? You're cheering your own death. You're cheering the destruction of any chance for your children to have an education. Your sick mom and dad to ever have health insurance. You're cheering for the end of the American dream when you cheer these rat bastards up on the stage. You're cheering for no more home ownership. You're cheering for jobs to continue to go out of the country. You're cheering for rat poison in your Wheaties. Don't you understand what you're cheering for? And when I think about the two, I just say, hell with it. Give me the axe handle. Well now. You know, I really do for my own just my own level of personal corruption. I love to find the idiocy and the insaneness in these McCain-Palin rallies. Because like I said the other night in a different context, they're starting to become like some form of weird pornography. And I'm becoming addicted. Every time I walk by a television during the day, if I'm here at home, and we have to have at least one on, we keep the sound down because we don't want to corrupt Molly when she's not in school. And, you know, Kathy and I are already over, just around the bend with this stuff. But every time I walk by and I see there's Sarah Palin up on a stage and it has that little chyron up in the top. It says live. Jesus God, I'm just grabbing for the remote. Get it off mute. Quick, let me hear this. You know, and I hit and I crank it up and the house starts shaking, reverberating with this psycho bitch and these crazed people that are cheering her. Kill us. Yes. Eat our babies. Oh, my God. Kill my grandma. Kill my mother. Let us all starve to death. Oh, we love you. You know, and after about 5 minutes of that, you know, I'm shaking and my face is flushed and my heart rate's up and I'm thinking to myself, get a hold of yourself. Stop this. You've got to break this addiction. So I hit the mute button again. And somehow I get out of the house. And I'll go walk 4 miles. Or I'll go swim. Or I'll go chop wood. Something! And then I come back in the house. And it's on mute. And I look up. There's McCain. And I grab the remote. Where's the remote? Give me the goddamn remote! hit the mute button. And then I see old Lumpy out there, and his homunculus is just bouncing around his face. And I hear the people again. Oh, yes, deprive us of everything. Take it all away. We don't want Social Security. We don't want health care. We don't want Medicare. We don't want Medicaid. We don't want unemployment compensation. We don't want any distribution of the wealth. That's all unemployment compensation is. They take it from the employer, and they give it to me. I don't want it anymore. Here, take your goddamn $300 a week. I don't need it. I want my children to starve. I want my children to die. I want my wife to die. I want my husband to die. I don't need this. I don't want it. Drill, baby, drill, baby, drill, baby, drill, baby, drill, baby, drill. And I watch this. And my face flushes. My pulse rate goes up. And my hands shake. And I start to feel sweaty in my armpits. And little beads of sweat build up on my hairline. And I think, no, get away from this. You've got to stop this. I put on mute and I leave. And I go walk 4 miles or go swim or go chop wood or something. It's pornography. It's unbelievable. I don't know. I guess this is what people do who are just borderline, ready, like me, ready to slip into the abyss. I've been staring into this garbage now for how long? How long have you been staring into it, Truth Seeker? Let's go mad together, huh? Yeah, let's laugh and cheer. Sarah Palin, the thriller from Wasilla, John McCain. Oh, yes, kill me, eat my children, destroy my life.
A land that's clean and free for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna stand.
Towns that we get to visit, and in these wonderful little pockets of what I call real America, being here with all of you, hardworking, very patriotic, very pro-America areas of this great nation.
Pro-America areas of this great nation. Son of a bitch. It's unbelievable stuff. Oh, well. Miguel in New York City writes, Mike, could you please emphasize the fact that the title commander-in-chief only applies during time of war, which means McCain wants to keep us at war. Yeah, he says he doesn't want to be the distributor-in-chief. He wants to be the commander-in-chief. Poor McCain. He really is crazy. He really is crazy. And when half the country is crazy and a crazy person and his hoe stands up there with these speeches, all kinds of mad chemistry results. Speaking of chemistry, how about Joe the Plumber and chemo? Prairie 2 writes, 1 in 4 people in Joe the Plumber's income bracket, $40,000 a year, are declining cancer treatment to avoid losing everything so they don't leave their families destitute. Plumbers are often self-employed and can't get insurance. McCain's budget cuts include eliminating all programs for small farmers. In a speech in Missouri, he blamed farmers for breaking the budget. Obama now is running ads on rural radio stations with endorsements from lifelong Republican farmers. lifelong Republicans. Yeah, McCain's going to cut everything. He'll show you, sons of bitches. He will show you. Farm subsidies, out the window. Of course, we don't need them anyway, do we? Medicaid? Oh, he's not going to touch Medicaid. That's right. Okay. Now, just one major problem with this. McCain submits a budget. He can't, you know, he keeps telling these drooling slobs who come to these Nazi rallies that he's going to do this and he's going to do that. Now, I realize that Bush has absolutely bastardized the office of the president. There's no telling now what the president can do. But the Constitution denies John McCain. John McCain doesn't make law.
John McCain doesn't authorize budgets. John McCain simply proposes. Congress disposes. That's all he can do. But the mouth breathers, the booger eaters who stand out there and say, yeah, please kill us. Please, we don't want any medical care. We don't want any increase in the minimum wage. We don't want jobs. We don't want roads. No, stuff the pork, kill the pork. You know, don't these people understand? Well, no. No, they don't. Now, see, were I a real Christian, you know, a follower of Jesus, to the point where I would proselytize or whatever, I would, you know, I would open my heart to these people. I would say, you know, you're just missing the point, my brother. You don't quite get it, my sister. Come here. Gather round. Let Brother Mike explain to you how misguided. First, let us join together in a word of prayer. You know, that's what I would do if I were a compassionate, soulful, spiritual human being. But what I really want to do is to walk into one of those crowds with axe handles, and just start swinging. You know, kneecapping people, breaking bones, or going to their municipal water supply and putting some kind of an element in there that makes them incapable of reproduction. Get them out of the gene pool. I'm so sick, aren't you, of people like this who will consistently drag the country down with their inability to think, their inability to realize what they're doing to themselves, simply so the queers can't get married, or women don't have privacy, or whatever the hell the issue is. So tired of being here. I love the country. I can't stand the scene. Thank you, Leonard. Oh, my God. All right, I'll tell you what. I have more or less smoked my cigar tonight. So when, that's a figure of speech. When we come back after the break, let's do some phone calls. All right? Now, usually when a talk show host says that to you, what he's saying is, God damn, I'm out of tricks. You all stepped in and saved the show. And other times, you know, the talk show host, he or she is really looking for the sterling input that comes from listeners. Flip a coin, take your pick. I'll go with whatever you decide. But we would like to hear from you. The number is 800-989-1480. Oh, never mind. I notice here all the lines are full. All right, well, just keep trying. 800-989-1480. When we come back, we'll take some calls, starting with John and Fargo and Nora and Dave and a couple there whose names aren't up yet. So I've got to go get a throat lozenge. I just get so worked up at McCain Palin rallies. I just, you know, drill baby drill, kill me, kill my children. I don't want medical insurance. I don't want a good doctor. I don't want roads that don't have holes in them and bridges that won't collapse. I don't want any of that. I want to be a Republican. I want to devote my entire life to making the upper one half of 1% of wealth holders in this country even more wealthy. That's all I want to do.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Quick email here from John in the Great White North, writing from Vancouver, B.C. And then to your phone calls. The subject line is 8-hour lineups at the polls. Mike, Canadians and Americans are similar in a lot of different ways, but I must admit I'm truly stunned that there are Americans waiting 8 hours or more to vote. Have you guys learned nothing after 2 stolen presidential elections? I see people waiting in frigid temperatures and pouring rain for hours, and they're interviewed after voting. What do they say? Oh, 8 hours is all right. I wait longer than that in shopping malls. And then an election worker says, I'm proud to see so many people here voting today. High turnout may be encouraging, but aren't we missing the big picture here? How has it come to this in America? People are now fine with the notion of having to wait 6, 7, 8 hours or more in the harsh elements to exercise their constitutional right, for goodness sake. How is this acceptable? How is it that these same people feel satisfied that they have just waited this whole time to vote on a machine that is completely unverifiable? I see the complete breakdown of critical thought amongst Americans. This is the foundation of your democratic system, for goodness sake. If this ever happened in Canada, there would be riots. I waited a grand total of 2 minutes to vote in the last federal election here in Canada. 2 minutes. For God's sake, demand paper ballots that are counted by hand. Demand that there are enough polls and poll workers so that this travesty against your democracy does not happen. Absolutely astonishing. John in Vancouver, B.C. I don't know, John. I have no idea. Americans, I think it's very obvious. By global standards, we are becoming stupider. We are becoming sicker. We are becoming poorer. We're becoming a nation where our natural environment, we are allowing it to become more degraded. We're becoming a society that tolerates poison in everything we drink, eat, or breathe. I don't know what has happened. I don't know. Maybe it's payback for what we did to the Native Americans. Huh? I mean, there's some people who have told me that. Some wise old village elders who have said to me, what you don't understand, Mike, is this is payback for what you did. But I never... Doesn't matter. I don't know. I really don't. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it is what happens when you live in a society that is imperialistic in a very nasty, ugly way. Not to defend imperialism on any level, but at least the Brits, when they went around the world with their imperialism over 250 years, they left institutions in place. They left governments in place. They left, oh, I know. Don't take this too seriously. I'm not trying to come across as some kind of a pro-imperialist. You know, I'm not about to sit down and rewrite Gunga Din, but it is a fact. The French, the Brits, the Dutch, imperialistic, white slavers all. Yes, absolutely. Scum, bastards. But when they left a nation, they usually left institutions in place, in a couple instances, major instances, that are still functioning 150 years later, 100 years later, 50 years later. What have we left behind? Agent Orange? Death, depleted uranium, butchered children, smashed infrastructure, puppet governments. Jesus, God. So maybe that's what it's all about. You know, I don't know. But this country really is sinking. And that's not, you know, that's not some Cassandra-like, oh, another negative liberal. No. I'm a very positive liberal. But Jesus God, I mean, I can listen to these crowds at these rallies. What are they cheering for? I mean, it's just insane. So, to my correspondent in Vancouver, I don't know what has happened to my country. I really don't. But I'm embarrassed and sad, and I'm just not going to silently take it. I think everybody in this country is aware of what's going to happen November 5th. You know, you could do the Guy Fawkes thing as much as you want. You can quote the poem. But I think that on November 5th, if this election is stolen again, I think there is going to be an extreme reaction, which will be met with extreme force, and it's going to escalate. So, now, that's all negative and scary and, ooh, things that go bump in the night-ish. Let's forget that. Let's just assume that the pigs will try to steal, the Republican pigs will try again, as they have been successful in the past, to prevent people from voting. The dirty bastards. I mean, this is the thing that just is astonishing to me. Republicans hate this country. They hate Jesus. They hate the apostles. They hate everything. And working class Republicans will do anything in their power to kill themselves. You all are committing suicide. You're killing your children. You're killing your old people. What is... Oh, I keep saying what's wrong with you. Never mind. But if it's stolen again, I think now, thanks to people like Brad Friedman, thanks to people like Greg Palast, thanks to people like Bobby Kennedy Jr., you know, we can't pretend like, oh, what, was the boat stolen? Oh, well. No, no. That's gone. That's over. This time, if Obama, Biden lose because of the fraud and the theft, there will be a reaction, and it will be extreme. And I know that, and you know that, and I think the authorities know that. We talked about the plans that are already in place with these militarized police departments across the country, and with NORTHCOM, the North American Command Structure, the U.S. military. Everybody is on alert. Nobody is making too big of a story about it. And the whorish media, no offense to sex workers, are cooperating. Let's not get the word out on this story too much. No, 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 no. But if it's stolen again, I have a gut feeling that there will be an extreme reaction, which will be met with extreme force. So, let's hope that 100 years from now they are not saying, as they do in England, remember, remember the 5th of November. I'm serious. I'm serious. Oh, I did it again. All right, quick break. We'll come back, and I am going to go right to your phone calls, directly to your phone calls. And I would love to, since Halloween is coming close. Oh, and by the way, when's our Halloween show this Friday? Huh? That's Halloween, right?
That would be Halloween.
That would be Halloween, wouldn't it? We're going to have our Halloween program, which includes the inestimably creepy reading by moi of the Telltale Heart, and lots of strange sound effects. Ooh, just like in elementary school. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
The votes for George Bush are going to deliver. The votes for George Bush. We're going to deliver. The votes for George Bush are going to deliver. The votes for
House in the morning. The terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So till your back's safe in bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq.
Specific examples in his 26 years of pushing for more regulation.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
I'll bring them to you. I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you. And I'll stuff them in your underwear. 21 past the hour. To your phone calls. John is calling from Fargo, North Dakota, listening on the internet. Hey, John. Hey, John. Okay, put him on hold.
And we'll come back. I'm here.
Okay, hey, John.
Oh, hey, Mike. Oh, my God, I love you to death. I've only been on hold forever, but that's all right. So.
Well, not really forever.
I had to write my stuff down, what I was going to say. So, no, what I was going to say, I was listening to Oberman earlier, and about the whole socialist thing.
Yeah.
He played a clip of Sarah Palin saying almost the same exact thing about
redistribution. Yeah, I saw that. And yeah. you know, after Oberman played that, I tried to find it on
redistributor.
Yeah, wherever you search. I tried a couple of search engines and I can't find it where Palin sits there and talks about the redistribution of wealth in Alaska, because that's the proper thing to do, that the oil is owned by everybody. I mean, that's goddamn communism. It's just total socialism, yeah. Communism, ismism, boogerism, the hair eaterism. I don't know what it is, but there she said. I hate these people.
So and get this, Mike. I don't know if I am forgetting stuff or not, but last week when she did the interview, her famous and infamous interviews with like Brian Williams last week, and when the whole wardrobe thing, like I could give a crap about that, but. Said, oh, it's my favorite consignment store, and I could have sworn she said it's my favorite consignment shop in Juneau, where the Capitol is.
Yeah.
And then just the other day, she's like, yesterday, it was like, oh, my favorite consignment shop. Oh, and it was in Anchorage. I don't think she knows what the hell's going on here.
From her front porch in Alaska, you can see all the way to the end of her career.
God. I hope she goes away. You know, I feel bad for her because they've used her, the crazy people.
That's why I call her a whore. Because John McCain and the Republican Party have pimped her. The religious right. They have pimped her. They have taken a woman. I don't know anything about Sarah Palin, but I know what they've done to her. They've allowed her, either turned her into or allowed her to reach her own natural level. And what they've produced here is a whore, an absolute hoe.
Yeah, so, you're exactly right. I couldn't agree more.
No offense to sex workers.
They didn't say that. I voted last week.
Did you?
Yeah, in North Dakota.
Did you wait for actually, six? Did
yeah,
you have
Howard
to wait
Dean,
for six?
Howard, yeah, it's the only state in the union that you don't have to register in, so it's easy to vote in the state. But I went and registered. I didn't register. I went and voted.
Yeah.
Did that. North Dakota's been a red state forever. We have a Republican governor. Actually, he's pretty decent. Yeah. I will say that. But we got two Democrat senators,
Johnson
and Dorgan, Conrad Dorgan, and then we have the congressman, Pomeroy. I've met them all. They're the nicest people, and they are so good for the state. And I met the governor, too, and he's good, a Republican. So that was the only Republican I voted for.
Well, just one bit of warning, John. You know, Republicans can present themselves, Republican office holders especially, as you know, like really nice guy. But in the dark of the night, when you're asleep, he will slip into your bedroom and slide a long ice pick right through your belly button, up through your diaphragm, and he'll move around a little bit until he finds your heart. And then he'll just prick it a little bit so that you now have a leaky heart. And then he will extract this long ice pick, and you'll slowly bleed to death all the time thinking, He really was kind of a nice guy. He's a Republican, but what the hell? He's a nice guy. And every time your heart pumps around your respect for this bastard, a little more blood leaks out. So, John, don't go there. All Republican office holders are killers. They are programmed to kill. They kill slowly because they are cowards. So, forget the nice guys who are Republicans in your state. They are not nice people. They walk around with long ice picks, and they wait until they find someone like you asleep. Oh, this is John, and John thinks we're really nice people. Here, let me slide this right through his belly button there. He didn't even wake up. All right, we have a break here. We'll come back and continue the conversation. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Johnny wants a brain. Johnny wants to suck on the coke. Johnny wants a woman. Johnny wants to think of a joke. Johnny's in America. I'm afraid of a man.
What other Supreme Court decisions do you disagree with?
Well, let's see. There's, of course, in the great history of America, there have been rulings that, you know, going through the history of America, there would be others.
The school children in Iraq, such as email here and then back to your calls. Mike, I listen to you regularly. This is from another Canadian. I love your rants. I am in a U.S.-Canadian quandary. I'm a Canadian citizen and U.S. green card holder. I've spent the majority of my life in the U.S., living at times in New York, New Jersey, Florida, and 8 of the past 10 years in L.A. I'm currently in Canada waiting to see what happens on November 4th. In some ways, I'm kicking myself for not taking the final step of seeking full citizenship in the U.S. Never quite got around to it in 30 years, and therefore I'm unable to vote. I will, however, be spending the next week working for the Obama campaign in Pennsylvania, doing whatever I can. I must add that I am more in tune with your congressman from Ohio than your senator from Illinois, but a McCain-Palin victory is not an option. Should the latter prevail, I will ceremoniously burn my green card on the border and never return. I hope the American people will reject the lies and propaganda fed to you by the corporatists. I'm not loving the options, for there are none. Vote Obama. I want to come home. Okay. Norm. Well, Norm, I want to come home too. All right. Back to your phone calls. Who is the next lucky person here? Diane is calling from Washington State, listening on Sirius. Hey, Diane. Hey, how are you?
Love your show.
Thank you.
Me and my other half are truck drivers, and we listen to your show every day.
Well, thank you very much. You listen on Sirius?
Yes.
Yeah, well, great. Well, I appreciate it.
What I wanted to say was I took care of a sister of mine for 13 and a half years that was mentally challenged.
Uh-huh.
And if McCain gets voted in, he's going to take, they survive on their Medicare and their Social Security.
Right.
That is the two things that they literally survive on. And if he gets in, he'll take that away. Then where are these people to go?
Well, he'll make an effort. Remember, McCain cannot no president can pass legislation. It's just, it's an impossibility. So you're right in the respect that he may make an attempt. Look how Bush tried to talk up the privatization of Social Security, flip it over into the stock market. That would have been a great idea, huh?
It failed.
So President McCain, and he won't be president. He will not become president, Diane. I promise you that. But in a parallel universe where a John McCain would be president, yeah, he would make the attempt. And that's why it's also important that we have a veto-proof majority of Democrats in the House and the Senate. Now, in saying that, I'm completely compromising my own values, political values, because so many Democrats are not, most of them, are not liberals by any means. Just like the email I just read, the guy from Canada who's waiting to see what happens, he would much prefer a Dennis Kucinich over a Barack Obama. Not that Barack Obama is not a transformational figure. He is. Bless his heart. I'm going to vote for him. I now have a Barack Obama sign in my car, in my front yard. There's no question here. Absolutely no question. But McCain will not be able, in this parallel universe, if there is a majority of Dems in the House and the Senate, especially if it's a veto-proof majority, to do any of the evil that he's talking about. But to the insurance policy, Diana, and you know this, is to make sure the rat bastard does not get into office by not voting him in. And voting a huge enough majority for Barack Obama and Joe Biden that it can't be stolen again.
Right, and with the electrical vote, though, that scares me because
it does mean
with a paper vote, you know that you're going to get what you're voting for, which I'm voting for Obama, so is my husband and my children, but with this electrical vote, that scares me.
Well, it does me, too. I live in Georgia, and the Diebold machines, we were the first state where every single vote cast in the 2000 election was on a Diebold machine. We were the first state to have complete Diebold voting, and it was in that election that the state flipped from being Democrat to Republican. And those of us who live here who still have a brain left know full well what has happened in the past four elections. A certain percentage of votes cast on these filthy machines is stolen. And this has got to stop, or this country is going to go into violent revolution. I mean, once a people realize that they have no control over choosing their leaders, much like the patriots in this country back in the late 18th century, once they realize that their vote no longer counts, then they rebel, they revolt.
Exactly. And I've heard that, too, because that could really happen. That could really happen.
It could. It very definitely could.
I mean,
if you don't have the right to vote, or if your right to vote is taken away, what kind of a system do you live in? It's totalitarian. And I don't think people in this country are willing to do that. So.
Well, I'm 52 years old, and I've watched it my entire life and felt suppressed for most of my life because of stuff like that.
I hear you. Diane, I'm not trying to preach to you, but just keep your chin up. That's exactly what I keep telling myself every day. I see these long lines here in Georgia, and these are not these are not people waiting for 4 hours to vote for John McCain. And I keep telling myself the same thing. This time it's going to be different. For the most part, Barack Obama is way too so-called mainstream for me. Too centrist, too conservative. Once again, I'm willing to compromise with no reluctance, given the reality of the political situation in this country. I'm not saying hold your nose and vote for Barack Obama. I'm not. Absolutely not. There's more at play here than just making sure we have a Democrat in the White House and a Democratic Senate and House. There's much more at play here. This is a transformational moment, and the transformational moment has to do with the race of Barack Obama. It just does. And if somebody else doesn't have the nerve or the courage to say that, I'll say it. It is extremely important that Barack Obama, on so many levels becomes the next president of the United States. If you may, I don't care if you're black or white, liberal or just plain Democrat, if you find that offensive, kiss my grits. You know, I really don't care. Symbolism is extremely important in the political realm. It's important in every realm we live in this country, symbolism. It's important no matter where you live. The symbols that we choose to identify with, the symbols that identify us, the symbolic nature of so much of what we do, this is key to our understanding of ourselves, our country, our culture, our spiritual beliefs, everything. There is an element of symbolism in the election of Barack Obama that is absolutely critical to the survival of this country. Do you understand? Some of you will get what I'm saying. I think most people will not. But some of you will get that and completely and fully understand what I'm trying to say here in my uneducated way. Joe is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. It's so good to talk to you.
My pleasure. And
I agree with everything you're saying. I just wanted to make a point of that I'm not, you know, so convinced maybe as you are that the people of this country would rise up if this election were stolen. I think that by and large, we've shown ourselves to be sheep, patsies, you know, whatever they hand down the line to us. You know, as long as we don't have to go out of our way, you know, or give up anything.
Well, but this time, but Joe, this is I would tend to agree with your assessment, and I say it every night about how America is the population here is a population of sheep being led by pigs, but things are different now because people are losing their homes. People don't have jobs to even find, much less go to. Wages are spiraling down. Healthcare is becoming something that very few people have, and even not very few. I mean, still the majority of Americans have healthcare, but those who do have it are finding out that it's an absolute struggle with these predatory, vampiric health insurance companies. Things have reached as far as I'm concerned, have reached a critical point, a tipping point. And that's why I say if we, the people, feel that the Republicans steal this election, there is going to be an extreme reaction because there are too many things at stake this time.
I'm just scared that if they have so much force that they're willing to use against us, you know, what would happen?
Right. Well, I understand. There will be an awful lot of blood in the streets, Joe, but let's not forget the Vietnamese. Let's not forget, I mean, you can just start there. How many people have resisted the militarization forced on them by the U.S. and survived, right? Before the hour, our program was engineered tonight by Ian Huff, who also answered your calls. Ben Birch is the podcast manager and technical advisor. Sharon Gordy is our military affairs correspondent. Lord, let go, Johnny Appleseed. The ethical advisors are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. And God bless Prairie 2. Our economic advisor. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. Back to your phone calls. Where are we? There we are. Terry is calling from Lancaster, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Couple things. I'm a gay police officer and dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. And what's interesting is you were talking earlier about, you know, the you know what's going to hit the fan if Obama doesn't win. And I pray to God that he wins for, you know, every reason you've just been laying out earlier. But I haven't heard any of the higher-ups talking about ramping up anything. You know, usually we get a heads-up on things.
Mm-hmm.
And being a state police officer, I probably would hear something if they were thinking of, you know, issuing riot gear or things like that. I haven't heard.
Well, I haven't heard of anything in California either, Terry. Where I have heard of this, Baltimore, Detroit, Cincinnati, and I think Chicago. And of course, New York City. Now, I've seen interviews on, especially where it concerns Chicago. I hope that such a thing would not happen. But what we have here is a very frustrated population. I don't think there's anybody in this country on the Democratic side who doesn't understand the degree to which the last several elections have been jiggered by these damn machines. I just don't think that there is a Democrat who doesn't understand that. If Republicans took a look at it, they would understand it too, but they choose not to. And this time, if it happens again, and if there is question about the election being stolen, I think most Democrats are willing to accept the outcome of an election if the election is fair. But if you take a look at these polls now, Barack Obama's lead in so many states, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you can't, you know, McCain can't pull this out. I mean, every time I turn around on CNN or MSNBC or even Fox, where they put up the electoral map, and they show what Obama has, what McCain doesn't have, and there it is. It's already been decided. None of these people like to say, well, it's already been decided. But I can say it. So if the American people really feel that this election has been stolen, I'm concerned about what's going to happen. I mean, deeply concerned.
Yeah, I'm very concerned, too. And if Obama does not win, there will be no question what's going to happen.
I hear you.
None.
I hear you.
And my heart will be torn apart, I'll tell you.
I don't envy you. I don't envy anybody who's in law enforcement who respects the law. Let's face it. You know, I had an uncle who was in law enforcement for most of his life. He was a deputy sheriff in Ohio. And there are a lot of people in law enforcement, you know, this as well as I do, who don't particularly give a damn where it concerns, well, you know, certain issues.
Yeah.
But there are also people in law enforcement, like obviously you, who you've got to enforce the law. But on the other hand, you understand, I think, very clearly what's at stake here. So I don't envy the position you're in, Terry.
Being a Democrat and being a gay Democrat and being a cop, I am a major, major minority.
Mm.
And I work with guys who are, you know, the majority of the guys are Republican, I'd say 98%. You know, they'd love nothing more for something bad to happen so they can go out and do bad things. I just know
I
it, and I hate to say that.
I know. I hear you loud and clear. Hey, I'm glad you called. Stay in touch, okay?
I will. No on 8.
All right. Take care,
Thank
Terry.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Yeah, Prop 8, she's talking about. I guess you all know about that. One of these initiatives that's on the California ballot. And the proper vote on that, if you are in favor of human rights, equality, the proper vote is no. No. I would hate to be. I really would. I mean, that statement came out of me so cavalierly when Terry's talking. I would hate to be in law enforcement, especially frontline cop, whether it's state police or county sheriff or city police department, I would hate to be a frontline cop on November 5th if there is a sense that the will of the people, the will of the majority of the people in this country, the majority of the voters, had been thwarted, stolen, corrupted. I mean, what do you do? What do you do if you're a frontline cop? What the hell do you do in a situation like that? Especially if you're a Democrat, especially if you believe in justice. I know some cops here in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area. I have to know them for a number of reasons. And this is an issue with some of them. Terry's right. There are an awful lot of cops who look at any type of civil disturbance as a chance to bust heads. But there's also an awful lot of cops who are dedicated, committed to justice. And I know a lot of them here in Atlanta. And what she's talking about in L.A. is similar to what is being talked about here in the Atlanta area. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, take care. Really, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.